Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 24. This is where Satan doesn't want you to be here. This is where he doesn't want you to be. Imagine if you have been here for 3 years. Imagine what would have been done to your life. Hey, yeah, yeah. Hey, yeah, yeah. Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 24. You need to open your scripture. You cannot pray like this and not open your scripture. Touch that young man. He's on the phone. Tell him to get up. Verse 24, he says, "Rise up, rise ye up, take your journey, and pass over the river Arnon. Behold, I have given into thy hand Sihon the Amorite, king of Heshbon, and his land. Begin to possess it and contend with him in battle." You miss the point. Somebody said, "I've given you the land, both the king and the land." And he now turned back and said, "Begin to contend with him and possess it." That's where believers miss it. So they begin to talk about what God said he will do. What God said he has given me this. This is where he said, "I'm in charge of this. Say, I should do this here. I should be in charge of this. Come on. I should. What is going?" I met a lot of young people that said, "If you see what God told me he's going to do through me in this campus, I'm in final year now. I have not seen anything." You don't know how to possess. Hey, yeah, yeah. Hey, yeah. Four. What you want here is an earthquake, it's a tornado. The scripture says in the book of Acts chapter 4, when they went into their company and they cried out to him, he said the room where they sat is shook. It was a magnitude 10.4 earthquake. You don't know what your prayer can do. It can crack the soul of the territory and bring an embargo from Zion. Somebody bring a cattle. Possess. I have given unto you the land. Begin to contend. Begin to possess. Begin to contend. Begin to possess. I give to you. Oh!
Solomon, you are not praying, oh!
If you can, things are happening. The scripture said that Elijah appeared and challenged the altars and prophets of Baal. It was then that we understand that the contention in the territory is principally a contention of altars. He said, build up a dig a ditch. And he began to instruct them on how to construct territorial altars. It was then that we understood that the principal problem that that land had was because there was no altar upon which the angelic beings and the cargo that is coming from Zion will land as an airport. Many things that God wanted to do, but there is no altar to land upon. The altar has been defaced. And when the man Elijah appeared, we found out that the many years he spent in the woods, he was being taught on the ways of the altar. That's how he learned to construct things. I said, how can a man come and say, dig a dish and pour water? And then he said, let fire come. There is a technology where water becomes well. He was taught.
He was taught the ways of the altar.
That is when you begin to do things and it doesn't look like the natural sustains that kind of philosophy. But you were taught by the Spirit how to bring cargo into the territory. They will know what is happening. You were taught. You were taught.
That's why our altar will cry.
Men that have voices in the territory are men that their altar have voices in the heavenlies. We cry and then God brings him an entourage. That's why the scripture called him the Lord God of hosts. It means that he is a king that never goes alone. When he enters a territory, many of his entourage comes with him. Somebody let out a shout in the Holy Ghost.
Oh God, my altar is calling you. Oh God, my altar is calling you. Oh God, my altar is calling you. Oh God, my altar is calling you.
Ask yourself is by what technology did Paul bring down Diana of Ephesus? People thought what Paul was doing there is just reading Bible. You missed the point. He appeared there and began to look at the things that were inscribed in that place. He said to this one that you wrote, said to an unknown God. That was when we found out that it was a contention between gods. Is you that is not aware. You came natural. Before Moses became what he was, he stayed in the woods for long. When he came out, God said, I have made you a god unto Pharaoh. He's only God that are permitted to tread this path. King only respond to kings. Gods only respond to gods. Listen to me. There is a reason why God is called the King of Kings. It is because he doesn't have a kingdom of subjects. He has a kingdom of kings. That is why he said, I've called you a holy priesthood, a royal nation. So you are a kingdom that is made up of both kings and priests. When you realize your priesthood, then your mantle of kingship will land upon your life. You have not started ruling because you have not understood and taken advantage of your priesthood. That's the key. That's the key. That's the key. When Elijah appeared and began to construct new altars, principles of priesthood, it was then that we understood that what we thought was a throne was not a throne. That the throne indeed was controlled and powered by altars. The one that Jezebel had was powered by the altars of Baal. As far as those altars are functioning, that civilization will continue to prosper. That is when Elijah appeared. He is not interested in what they are doing in the government house. He is interested in the altars. He knows that if he can bring down the altars and the priesthood and the prophets of Baal, then the things that they had in the territory will break. You need to know where civilizations, philosophies are being brought into the territory. It's a bargo, a cargo from the spirit. You introduce it through priesthood. And then a rulership will be brought into the territory. Things we have not seen before. A thirst and a desire for God that men didn't know were there before. They began to desire and thirst after God. They didn't know it's a cargo that was brought into the territory. I tell you, after this season, men will pant after God. I know they said our territory is looking after money only, but we abandon money and seek God. The God of Israel, the one that dwells in Zion, he will be our thirst and our desire.
a castle is brought into the territory. It's a season of revival. It's the spirit of Elijah, the one that calls the spirit of the sons to their fathers. They will desire nothing except the one that created them.
Jesus' mighty name. Revelation chapter 1. Get a mic and read for me. Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. We still continue from where we stopped. Anything you do that has not touched the territory has not touched anything. He has not touched anything. Anytime God comes and begins to give a man a command, that command will extend to the point that he begins to touch the fabrics of the territory. That is when what God has done and is doing will become calcified, will become etched into the foundations. A day will come, we might not see you as a person, but we will see the handiworks of what you are doing. Are you with me? That is what Jesus understood, and he began to raise men with a kingdom mindset. When he left the scene, they thought they have killed Jesus. They didn't know they raised at least 120 people. 120 people that can continue doing exactly what Jesus was doing. That is the intent of God. That when you introduce a cargo in a territory, when you persecute such people, it will make the gospel to spread. The reason why you persecute the church and it dies is because they have not been taught on what is territorial ministry. They thought it's all about you gather 1,000. No, that one is good. But if you impact them with a territorial mindset, everybody has a territory. Yes, everybody has a territory. The scripture was speaking about the watchman. He said, "Oh watchman, I've set you upon your wall." The question, he didn't say you will have a new one. No, he said, "I've set you upon the day you find out your wall is the way the day you begin to function." So a man comes and says, "I don't know where God kept me. I don't know what God told me to do." You are a man that have not been seeking to sit on your watch. If you begin to sit on your watch, very soon you will understand your territory and the things that God ordained you to do. I say it's not about gathering here. If all of us gather here, the next thing that will start happening is that you will think growth in God is determined by how much you hold the mic. You won't know that the people that do real impact, they never touch the mic. In fact, you never see them. The real principalities in this territory, they don't come out in the day, they come out in the night. They are not interested in you seeing their face or the makeup they have. They are not interested. They are interested in maintaining their government. And sometimes when you move in the night, you see them sacrificing. You see them doing heavy things. When you wake up in the day, you become subject to their sacrifices. They understand the ways of the altar. They understand that the territory, the environment, the cosmos has a voice, and it begins to speak to the hearts of the men according to the things that has been encoded in it. If you encode immorality, it begins to speak immorality. If you encode revival, revival begins to be bred on the air. Even the pastor that says he doesn't like prayer will begin to organize prayer meeting and fasting. It's not because he wants to, but a cargo has been brought into the territory. That's what you need to understand. When you understand it, you stop fighting your pastor. Stop thinking, this place, God is not moving. No, you need to understand territorial ministry. It's not about what the pastor is doing on the pulpit. It's about the cargo that you can bring in that environment and in that territory. After some time, they will begin to tell you, can we begin to organize this? It's the cargo that you introduce. Stop complaining. Stop trying to collect mic. Do you know how many we are? If all of us continue, me, I'm not a mic person. I don't even know how I ended up here. Do you want to continue this teaching? Come and take the mic. Read for me. Revelations.
Revelation chapter 1.
Verse 10. If you are there, say amen.
I was in the spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, "I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. 12.
No, it's okay. One of the first things you understand in this scripture is that John said, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. So when men find themselves in the spirit realm, there is a different understanding that they begin to gain about the oppressions of God. And one of the things he saw in that encounter is that actually God doesn't see his churches in denominations. So if you come and say, I am revival of, they are not aware. What they are interested in is the church in Southeast. That's what they are interested in. So it doesn't matter what we do as a people until what we are doing begins to affect the territory. Even the people you think you like are your friend, they are not, that's not the thing. When God begins to look upon that territory, he begins to look upon it according, not as a denomination, but as a territory. The church is principally a territorial church. You cannot bring government upon a territory except the church is a territorial church. That is what the scripture is saying. He said, the church in Philadelphia. I did not hear, thank God, I did not hear Assemblies of God. Because you need to understand that no matter the denomination you are coming from, the shape that that particular denomination takes in a particular territory is not the nominal shape, the generic shape the denomination takes as a general. You are not getting my point. See, I need to tell you that, for example, I don't want to call the name, that Holiness Church, you know very well, if you find them in Lagos, the way they operate in Lagos is not the way they operate in your village. That is when you begin to find out that the structure of the territory affects denominations. It is then that you begin to know that churches are not seen by denominations, they are seen by territory. So anything that is in the territory begins to affect the denominations that is found there. That is when you begin to understand that churches, according to the scripture, not my own opinion. John said, I was in the spirit in the Lord's day. Eh? And then he was shown the churches. There were seven major churches in Asia Minor. And he was shown all of them. And he began to interact with the angels there and bring to them the mind of God. This is what, are you with me? This is what God is trying to bring across to territories. And he refused to interact with individuals. That means any man that is wise will begin to take his bearing according to the voice of God to the territory. You are not correct until you find out the territorial voice of God. That is when you begin to take your bearing. I say, I don't know what specifically God wants you to do, but it has to be in context with what God is doing territorially. The impact, the weight. Are you with me? So if you go down, I don't know if we get there, you begin to find out the different conformations, structures and shapes that this particular church is take. And it will begin to affect the kind of ministry and the posture that you take in the ministry that you will deliver in those territories. The way you will condition your heart to begin to bring about the mandate of God for the territory will be determined by the territory that you are sent to. You just say, we are from this denomination. That's what we are doing. You have to understand the shape of the thing. Since this break, there are some people that went back to their houses. They have not been able to pray. That's when they found out that the environment they were before had a structure in it that sponsors growth in God. When you find yourself in a new place, you are struggling to pray. This thing is territorial. You try everything. In fact, when you want to break out from there, some of you, your parents will try to subdue you. It's not about them. It's about the cargo in the environment. They begin to fish out any man that tries to do anything contrary to what is being instituted, the structure of the territory. They will subdue you. They will fight you. Because they don't want you to disturb the delicate, devilish, and wicked balance that has been set in the territory. Your night vigils is disturbing it. That's why they send those people to come and arrest them. They are doing night vigils. They send people to come and arrest them in the night. They have not arrested thieves. They are arresting night vigil people. There are other people making noise and saying break coconut on your head. They have not arrested them. They are arresting people that is groaning in the spirit.
I am Alpha, Omega, the first and last. What thou seest, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and Laodicea. I was looking to see the name of Paul's church. I was looking to see the name of Apollos' church. I was looking to see Timothy's home. I was looking to see the one that Clement planted. I was looking to see Epaphroditus. I was looking to see many things. Like our friend, his phone is Emmanuel Mandate International. I was looking to see Emmanuel. I didn't see anything. That is when we found out that is territorial. You find yourself in the north. Probably you are sent to youth service. You are struggling. You have not understood the territory. You just because you are in the east, you are enjoying some certain grace. You didn't know that there is a revival breaking out, and you are carried with the river. You went there, is a dry land. It's a wilderness. You need to take a different mode in the spirit. Huh? There is a mode that you take in the spirit when you find yourself in dry land. You can't be living like somebody that is in abundance. Anywhere you turn in this area, people are praying. You just need to turn and you see a prayer meeting where fire is boiling. You go there, people are dry. The only life that is there is the one that is springing up from your soul. And Satan is trying to quench it. In fact, everybody is leaning on it to survive. That's when you need to find a way to live in the wilderness. Huh? There is a way to survive in the wilderness. You take a mode, the life of the cactus. There is a way he retains life and moisture, even in the wilderness. He is not aware. No matter what the wilderness is doing, the cactus is fresh. The cactus. The cactus. The way of the cactus. He is not motivated by the environment and circumstances. He has a power line that is direct to the headquarters. Eh? So he gains his resource not from the things that are ministered by the territory. He gains his resource and information from headquarters. So you'll be looking at him and be wondering what is happening to this guy. Like Jesus, they brought food for him. He said, I don't want to eat again. They said, no be you say you want shop. He said, I have a meat. Say after me, I have a meat. They began to look at this man. Who kind of person is this? All man is hungry. We have labored, we are tired. And a man stood and said, I have a meat. That's when we begin to understand that the philosophy, the life that powers his existence is not natural. He is not interested in what is happening in this. As long as he maintains an unbroken fellowship with the Father, is enough to supply him with all the things that he needs to move day by day. He said, man shall not live by bread alone. Acts chapter 16, verse 5 to 10. Acts chapter 16, verse 5 to 10. See, what you need to understand is that God's specific agenda is territory specific. This is what I mean. There are many things God cannot do in certain territories, and some people don't understand this thing. I've heard some people begin to. There are many things God can do through some territories simply because sometimes they are not ready. Sometimes there are promises that He gave the people that started that lineage and stayed in that place. In fact, it was Paul that was speaking in the book of Romans chapter 9. I don't know if we need to get to that place. Maybe let's touch it for the sake of posterity. Let's touch it. Romans chapter 9. Then we come back. Verse 1 said, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed for Christ, from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to what? So these people he is talking about is the Israelites. He said, who are what? This is the his kinsmen, according to what? To whom? Now there are many things that pertains to them. There are at least 6 or 7 things. Let's count it. To whom? But remember, follow me. He said his kinsmen after the flesh, not the spirit. If he said the spirit, then it will include all of us. But he said what? His kinsmen, according to the flesh. For you to be sure the people he's talking about, he said the Israelites. He now said, to whom, in verse 3, pertaineth, number 1, what? Look. Number 2, and what? Number 3, and what? Number 4, and what? Number 5, and what? Number 6, and what? In fact, he now added another one. He said, whose are what? Of whom concerning the flesh, what? These are the things that pertains to Israelites by the flesh. You are not getting my point. My point is that even according to flesh, there are things that pertains to some certain people. He is not in the spirit. So he said that there are certain covenants that God kept with certain people. For the Israelites, there are covenants that pertains to them. In fact, some things like adoption, the promises. That means in a way, spiritually or physically, you have to align with that heritage. Now, meanwhile, that one is not, I need to bring a point, that is not the overall thing that God is doing. God brings a physical people, but he will allow you to enter into the heritage spiritually, because, are you with me? Even though it's a physical people that is there, the heritage that they are holding is spiritual in context. Eh? But we are talking about spiritual heritage, but it's physical people that we contact to enter into spiritual heritage. There are some things that are territory specific. For example, God told Abraham, your child after your loins will be the one to sit upon the throne of David. Now, do you know the implication? That's what Jesus didn't come from your lineage. No. He has given it to Abraham. Are you getting the point? So anytime any man wants to interact with that, however way is possible, that thing have to be brought across to you. And then if he's in ministry, follow me now, if he's in ministry, there are territory specific strategies that God have. Now, as a believer, all you need to do is to believe God and begin to interact with God personally and enjoy your fellowship, receive everything that is in Christ and all that. But if he's ministry, you see, the first call actually is not ministry. The first call is fellowship. Are you with me? So on the basis of fellowship, there is nothing that affects you that is outside. Everything that you need is what? Inside. But when you want to begin to affect based on the outflow of the life that is in you, bring the life of God to the territory, then there is a specific way to do it. In fact, when Jesus will get there, when Jesus began to speak to his apostles, he said, and ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and then ye shall be witnesses of me. Where? And then finally, that was when we found out that even the power of God is territory specific. Is territory specific. So there are certain things that God does that is territory specific. So I just showed you from the scripture, and many people have seen it. There are many people that say God called them, and they are busy doing business in Lagos, and God called them. to travel back to Enugu or travel abroad. Some people are in Nigeria doing things and they got this and traveled to UK. So it's not just going to the village. There are people that went abroad. Just they saw it. We'll get them. Because if there is something that God wants to do that is in that territory, for many reasons, we might not get to the many reasons why. For example, there can be an intercessor that has been in this land and is praying for the last 30 years. And he's saying, oh God, when will you bring your visitation? And God is looking for a man to send, because God's answer to men's prayer is a man. Is it not true? The children of Israel were crying. They were crying under the oppression of Pharaoh. God appeared and said, I've heard your cry. How do we know that God has said your cry? He said, I'm going to come down. And we were waiting for God to come down. He said, what we saw was Moses. Let me show you. Read that place for me. Read that place. Acts chapter 16.
Acts chapter 16 from verse 5. And so we are the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily.
Yes.
Now when they had gone throughout
Phrygia.
And the region of Galatia, and we are forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia.
Wait, I need to understand the scripture. Go into all the world and preach the good news. I don't understand this one. Look at that. They were what?
And we are forbidden.
By who?
Of the Holy Ghost.
You see, the scripture doesn't contradict itself. It balances everything. If you are open-hearted, you begin to understand. We don't want to dig deeper why God begin to tell you not to go into some territories as I saw some certain seasons. Moses cannot rise. Moses is the deliverer. He cannot rise except until that 400 years has been accomplished. Because even though there are many people there that is not aware of what God told Abraham, it doesn't matter. God told Abraham, your children, these your people, they will go in a land and they will stay there for 400 years. And then he comes and says, God told me! You are missing the point. Your faith is not stronger than the will of God. The faith of a man is in the context of the will of God. And when God begins to show us his will, we begin to align. And the functions and the manifestation that we see is based on how we interacted with that revealed will. So you can begin to have faith in abstract. Have faith. That's why people are doing many things. They call ministry and there is no sponsor from heaven. Because God is not aware of that. People are doing, and when I say ministry, I'm not meaning conventional ministry where you must be on pulpit. There are people that God specifically sent to do some things, and via that means they are releasing the life of God into people and territories. That is called ministry. I say ministry is life. Have you not heard it before? The merchandise of the kingdom of God is life. So if a man has the ability to communicate life, then he is doing ministry. Are you getting it? So there can be a group of youths that is thirsting for God in a village that nobody is aware of. And then you pray to God. He said, I'm sending you on your service to one village like that. And then your pastor tells you to go and start a branch church in Lagos. And you went and started. They told you that, is it not to win souls and do ministry, that you can prosper anywhere? But God told you to go where? In the village. So you go to Lagos and you are struggling. You say your pastor told you, he prayed for you and poured anointing, you even fell under power. You miss the point. The works and the ministry that God has committed to us is territory specific. There are certain times God forbids us from going into some places. Sometimes it's not even as if he won't allow you to come back there, but he will allow you to stay there for some certain season. Some of the time it's just for you to get trained. There are places you appear unprepared, Satan will shop you. And there are things you need in your bag for you to travel. Sometimes people are taken into the nations of the world to carry the gospel. You will know that that training you are receiving in that hidden place is what you will need when you appear. You will not know that that's what God sent you. You are looking at it and you are belittling it and you are thinking, no, when you miss the point, God's backing will leave. You will experience so much struggle that you never know of. All the things that you will be living off of is just simply droplets of God's mercy. You will not receive a shower. Once you are correct, it doesn't matter if Satan is living with you in a room, you will be flourishing. He said, I've prepared a table before you. Where? It doesn't matter where the, it doesn't matter. What is important, who prepared the table? Who? If it's God, even if Satan is here, you'll be eating and picking your teeth. But if it's not God that prepared your table for you, if you like, let them prepare it in Burj Arab. What's the name of that biggest hotel in Abu Dhabi or wherever? What's the name of that Dubai? What's the name of that, the one that is taller? They prepare a table before you in that place. No, they will come from US and arrest you. If you like, prepare a table for you in that place, they will send people from US to come and arrest you, because it was not the Lord that what prepared the table. But if the Lord prepared the table for you, even in the presence of your enemies, you'll be eating and picking teeth. Continue.
And we are forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia.
Yes.
After they were come to Mysia, they are sailed to go into Bethania. But the Spirit suffered them not.
Now, they were, this is pastor's meeting. See after me, pastor's meeting. And they are doing pastor's meeting and they were looking at possible places. They are looking at possible places to send people. They said, we don't have our branch now at where now? Where does money come where from? No. We need where money come from. Porakot and then Abuja and then them. It's not everywhere in Abuja. I heard that there are places in Abuja that this place is better than in Lagos. Not everywhere in Lagos. Oh. My brother, I went somewhere in Lagos. Don't go there. You won't know you are in the same city with the biggest men in this Africa. It's the same Lagos. When you move out from there, it seems as if the air changed. Has it happened to you? Try it. Go to Lagos. Enter places like Lekki. You will find out the air you are breathing is different. I'm telling you, the air you are breathing is what? If you jam somebody, the person will say sorry to you first. But there are some places, if you jam somebody, he will jam you and slap you first. It's aggression. So they did pastor's meeting here. And they were looking for places to send people. They said, Port Harcourt is good. There is large number of people. Let's go there. Lagos is good. There is large number of people. Let's go there. I'm a living witness. For 5 years, I struggled to go to Lagos. Kai! Say Lagos. Kai! I wanted Lagos. What am I doing with you? What do you have to give me now? See me now, I'm in my village. That's terrible. The worst place to do ministry is in your village. It's not just that I'm in any village, I'm in my own village. You see, somebody can say, God sent me in a village. It's bad though. But the worst part is that he sent you to a village that is your own village. It's terrible. They'll be looking at me like this when I'm passing. Is it not this small boy we know when he was wearing? I have to say, oh God, you need to be, you need to know why I'm praying the way I'm praying. Sometimes it's not for anything, or it's God. Don't allow me to be ashamed. Don't allow. Just clothe me with something. Clothe me with something. Clothe me with something. For you to do ministry in your village, you need 10 times more grace than the person in the city. 5 times more grace than somebody in any other village. Your own village. It's your kinsmen that you will be meeting. I was passing somewhere hidden inside Ogunleru, and somebody called me, Shadu! I said, what is this? I said, what is this? Kai is my primary school classmate. But if you're in Lagos, you will just wear one suit. They won't know where you are coming from. Everybody is speaking big grammar. Everybody is looking nice and good. But you can't do it here. They know my father. They know my mother. They know my grandmother. There are many things you can't do in this place. You can't be forming for us. We know you now. Now kitchen line is still there, your papa house. You are forming big man of God for us. You are shouting like this. Let's wait first. Let God, let that thing you are preaching, we want to see it first. Don't do ministry in your village without proofs. No, you can't. They will never, in fact, when you are proving, they will be doubting. Proving, they will be doubting. Until you bring superior proof, they will not believe. Jesus came to even Jesus. So don't think, even Jesus came to his village and he was doing ministry. And they looked at him and said, is he not the son of Joseph? Since when did we begin to be a big man of God? Yeah. Others are preaching. This one is preaching. Is he not? Don't you know his father? They will now tell story about my father, my grandfather, my great grandfather, and then my uncle, the one that gave birth to my uncle and my mother. They will be smiling and greeting you like that. They are digging all your secrets, my brother, your village. Meanwhile, if God sent you to your village, be rest assured that that's where he is waiting for you. And most times he has been there for 5 years. For my own, he has been here for 5 years. In fact, it's not 5 years, it has been more than 5 years. I was looking to go to Lagos. I fought. I was a strong man. But the Holy Ghost restricted me just like he restricted Paul. Finally, when I began to yield, I was saying, oh God, whatever you want, I will do it. Wherever you send me, I will go. As I was coming down, I said, let me stop at Enugu. That's what was happening. Are you with me? I'm trying to explain this scripture for you. Look at it. He said that they wanted to preach the word in Asia. They were forbidden by the Holy Ghost to preach the word at Asia. They shifted small. I want to go to Bithynia. The Spirit suffered them what? Not. I came down to Enugu. He refused. I even tried to bargain or because look at somewhere a little exposed. At least even if it's not exposed, away from my village now. What is this thing? It's not just that this is my village. There are many other reasons I cannot tell you. Many. Many. You know one. People cursed me. Some of them said I would die. Some of them said I won't prosper simply because of that. They say, where have you seen it happen before? I was crying every day to God. I will finish crying and come here and preach and smile. You won't know the scars that men bear. God gave some of us these smiles because of the scars. It's too much. I was getting, there is no place that I even had succor, inside or outside. I have to survive alone. It is when you now survive and bring out your head that people will now start gathering around you. There is not one thing that gave me a little support. So I bargained for Oka. God said no. Until I landed in my village. I went and hid somewhere for 3 months. I was hoping that God will forget this thing. I said, the bag I packed to go to Lagos with my friend, the bag I packed, I have stopped using that bag. I kept it somewhere hidden as an emblem, a testimony of a broken man. That is when I found out, for a man to be truly led of God, he has to be a broken man. If you see a man that receives accurate direction from God, he has been broken many times from God. You see, some of the reason why people struggle to hear the voice of God, struggle to receive direction, they have not yet been broken by God. And it's not once, he will break you many times. And then when you have lost your will to his will, he can speak to you in a split moment and you will hear. Why will God speak to you when he is sure you will not obey him? God is not a talkative. The last time he spoke is the last time you obeyed him. So if he has stopped speaking, that means you are deficient in obedience. For 5 years, I did not receive new instruction. I was hanging around everywhere. Meanwhile, I was fasting more than everybody and praying more than everybody, yet nothing to show for it. You cannot use fasting and prayer to manipulate God, to blackmail him. You can't use it to manipulate him. That's what many people do. They use fasting and prayer and seed sowing. I want to break in into this land. God did not send you there. There is a place he's telling you to go. A group of 100 young youths are crying out for God and they need what you have. And God is calling you to go, then you refuse to go. You are looking at sometimes some people that are in the village and God is calling them to the city, they refuse to go. Simply because in the village there are already local champions. My brother, there are people that are champions in their village. You cannot talk about local ministry without contacting them. And God is dragging them out. They refuse because they are king in this place. Why will I have to leave my village where I'm king and go to Lagos where nobody knows me? They will stay there. And 1,000 people will be crying out for a supply of the spirit that you carry as a natural inherent ability. And they will never see it. You will continue to struggle in that place. This man went to this place. They were held by the Holy Ghost. Went here, held by the Holy Ghost. Went here, held by the Holy Ghost. That means whatever God wanted to do in that season was strategic and territory specific. Try it. Go beyond the Holy Ghost. You will struggle all your life. I needed to establish these 2 points so that we will be able to fly. His foundation that I laid. Now let's start looking into the principles that principles of territorial ministry. There are a few we might have to look into. They are vast. Just one of them is very vast. What I'll be doing is to extract the important things in them so that it will benefit you. After now you can function effectively. You can begin to function. Revelation helps you to function. Insight helps you to function. Are you with me? You cannot be effective in doing what you don't know how to do it. How will you do it? You say God called you, say do this, so do this. You don't know what to do. The better thing is to sit down and find out what to do. No matter how much zeal and passion you have, if you don't have requisite and relevant, consistent knowledge, up-to-date knowledge, you will not be able to function. You won't be effective. You will just be like somebody that has a scattergun. You know what is a scattergun? The thing you are looking for is somewhere, and you are using your scattergun. What God uses most times, if he wants to deliver on his agenda, is a sniper. He locates his target and brings it down. He doesn't waste energy. When you find out that some of the things that is taking you 7 days to achieve can be achieved in 1 hour, it is simply because you lack obedience. Simply because you lack revelation. Foresight, understanding, that is making you expend more energy than he demands. That is what has been the challenge most times in the body of Christ, because people don't understand how to deliver on certain mandates that God has committed to them. They will tell you, this one is hard, this one, if you don't do like this, they will come and tell you, it takes 20 years. You just came now and you think, let these small children wait. Oh, that the territory will eat you up. If you know what some of us have been doing before, Don't mind those people. They don't know what they are doing. The proof you don't know what you are doing is that you are still where you are. I need to tell you that there is such a thing as time also, a process. But process without strategic steps that you need to take to deliver on the mandate is not process, is a waste of time. You need to know what is waiting on God and wasting time. They are not the same thing. One is strategic, one is a way Satan frustrates your destiny. They are not the same. Are you with me? So it is insight and understanding that makes you to know which, where you are actually in God's agenda and purposes. There are many people that have desire. There are many people that have passion in that your campus. They are not able to do anything. They are just doing many things. They will listen to this message. Go and do. Listen to this. They have not cared to sit down with Jesus and understand the shape of the territory and cry out to God for territory specific proofs, weapons and tools that can be able to crack the territory. There are things that you bring in the southeast, it will not survive. If you go to Lagos, it will train you. But if you come here, it will not survive. You cannot put money first as the basis of your ministry in southeast. People will flood your ministry. They will flood it, receive it, and then disappear. Because what they understand here is, what they do here is principally what we call hedonistic ministry. Do you know what it means? It means what they do in the herbalist shop. Herbalist, you know herbalist. If you go there, he will do something for you. And then you pay him. You don't owe him anything beyond what he did for you and the payment that you gave. Is it not true? It was the P that spoke about when his own father came to his ministry and received healing. And when he received healing, he started coming to church. His group called him, said, "Come here. Why are you going to that young man's son? Is it because he's your son?" He said, "If you go to somebody and he did something, is it not to go and thank him, give him gift, and then find your way? Does it mean you must follow him?" You see it? So these people are after things. They are not after God. So when you begin to preach in the south, is that God will make people rich. They will feed them. God will deliver them. They will feed them. The day your anointing drips more, they will disappear. Because there is never Jesus in their heart. We are not interested in that. The revival is turning that order upside down. Because we are not saying that God doesn't bless people financially. We are saying it's the last thing. In the ladder. In the ladder is the last. You don't drop it on top. It's not part of the things that is found in the foundation. If you build it into the foundation, the house will fall. There are pillars. There are things that are factored into foundations. These are the things that if it's dead, the house will stand. But if you put these things, they won't survive. They won't survive because they are mundanities. The things that keep foundations have to be traced to the realm of God, the realm of eternity. These are the things that can survive both time and test. Satan can test it. Time can test it. It will stand. Mighty ministries have started in this territory. That is why, before I started, some people will think, "No, I took stock for many years. That is even why I didn't want to come here." It's not just because I didn't want to obey what God was saying. Part of it is that elders called me many years ago and told me that there is no ministry like this that survives in the southeast. I tell you the truth, in God I lie not. Everybody that tried to do it failed. Everybody that tried to do it. They will burst out in the miraculous. That's why I'm warning you. I'm warning you. The miraculous is not a proof in this territory. It's not a proof. I don't know. In other territories, it can be a proof. An average man from the southeast is anointed. To touch the anointing in the southeast is not our problem. There are certain other structures in the spirit. One of them is that they don't have... Should I say this? Let me help you. They don't have the wisdom to build things that will allow them. Very few of them build things that can allow them. Even ministry. It cuts across everywhere. They don't know how, they don't understand the body mechanism and corporate fellowship. The implication of that is that they'll be saying, Ndoka and Sons Limited. Say Ndoka and Sons Limited. Ha ha ha. Is recently that some of them began to, there are not many yet that began to, because they don't want, they just want, is about them, is about themselves. They are not seeing the need of the territory. One of the things that God broke from my eyes is, it took 3 years of dealing for me to understand this thing I'm telling you. They don't have it. If you see any Southeasterner building something that will last, that especially if he's building it from Southeast, some of them has gone outside and built something. If you are building it from, you can't survive. There is a structure, there is an institution, a civilization that fights you in Southeast. If you try, if you fight you down, you will fall. So when some of us groan and pray and do the things we do, you need to know what we are contending with. We are contending with age-long philosophy, something that is inside the foundation that built up our nation. And we saw a vision last year. It is that vision that gave us comfort. Somebody sat me down and began to tell me that direct sons of Elton, Pa Elton, came from this land. He began to name them one after another. He said, "Where are they?" My brother, I was afraid small. I wouldn't lie to you. You know, some people were like, I have to tell you the truth. This is for Elton that everybody is trying to trace his lineage to. He said, direct sons are in this land. If I'm not on mic, I would have told you 5 of them. You will know. Somebody, anybody that has 10 years or 15 years experience in the gospel in this land, we know them. He said, who are you to start? Yes. You don't know that man. Some of the things people boast about, the man is doing it as if he is chopping bread. I grew up thinking some things are easy. I'm telling you, at age 19, I told God, oh God, you understand that, you know, my parents I'm labored for this now. I don't need the travails and the pain. I tapping into their heritage and I don't need to survive. So I just need to enjoy what they have. The Holy Ghost say, amen. I don't know who in this place labor more than me and my siblings. Sometimes I pity my sisters. They know they sleep. You are telling me, Papa, 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 we need to. And then I will look at you, I will do my head like this. This young man have not understood where we are going. He is burden. It is because all of us saw together what prophecy without ability to lay hold on it can do to a man, can do to a generation, can do to a people. You will be looking at your potential and you die without seeing it. All of us vowed with our life. If it's one thing God spoke over us, it's better we see one than half hundred things he spoke and never saw any. If you begin to tell your children what God told them, they will begin to look, where is it now? You continue telling God, God said this, God, they say, where is it? There are many things we don't tell people God said about us. They are seeing it. It's people that looked at me, they will look at me. Me, I know, I'm not saying it. They will now look at the fruits of my ministry and say, you are this. They look at the fruit of your ministry and say, you are like this, you are this one is like this, this one is on you, this one is on me. I'm not saying, why do you need to say it? Allow proofs to show it. Jesus said, if you don't believe for the word's sake, say believe for the work. For the works. If you don't believe for words, believe for works. Let me tell you. 2016, my NCCF president, after some time after we finished youth service, told me that Apostle was looking for me. I said, how? Those days, I was interested in bulldozing everywhere. I, you need to know what we are carrying. You see, when you begin to mature, you understand what is important. No wonder Satan is not bothered by what I was saying. No. He was not bothered that I was anointed. He was not bothered that I was full of activity doing many things. He was not bothered. Because I've not really done anything that can touch the soul of the territory. So he gave me, he said, he met Apostle somewhere in the West and he asked him, "What about your prayer?" I said, since Oga, they talk about make, he said he gave him his number. You know, he doesn't give his number, but he gave him the number and said, "Give him my number to call me to each other." I now started him. I came with bogus words and big words, just like many people. Easy things I learned. That's how I'm helping you too. That's how I'm helping you. There are many questions people send to me. Too many questions. I look at it on WhatsApp or on Facebook. I'll say, "Just come to Neil." And then he will come to query site. And then what you'll be hearing in the night. One hour. He thought, some people thought 1 hour. 1 hour, they will now call first prayer point after 1 hour. This is my Friday. First prayer point after 1 hour. What have we been doing? Duke, first prayer point after 1 hour. What are we doing, sis? Pius, first prayer point after 1 hour. What is this? After 2 hours, 3 hours, you will now see me. I will pick the mic. I will say, "Thank you, Jesus, for the opening prayer." After 3 hours, opening prayer, the person will die and die. That thing that happened to you is death. Yes, Emmanuel, is death. And meanwhile, there is about 20 death points littered on your path. I don't know if you will survive. I'm expecting you to run away anyway. But I'm expecting you to run away. There are some people who will be telling me big things of faith. God told me. I say, "Come first. Come." Like I saw this man last year. He said, "Kai, when we come, we are going to die." The problem is that God took him serious. Be careful what you say. Especially what you say about us and say to me. He said, "He wants to come and die." And then we started 18 hours. I don't know if it was just when the Ugochukwu that started. You know, one is bulldozer, one is rainmaker. And they joined it. They were lying here. They were doing 1 hour, 2, 3. By 12, this my man sat on the ground like this. I still saw that your picture. He sat on the ground. He was there. By 12:31, he wanted to sleep. I kicked him like this. "Come on, wake up. Whoever brought you here know that you need it. I don't know how you came here, but if you landed here, then you need what I'm telling you." My man left that 18 hours and told me he was sick for 2 weeks. They went to a JCCF meeting and they were bullying some young boys, and I was smiling, because when God is dealing with you, you won't know that you are carrying. A generation will never rise until you rise beyond your weaknesses, rise beyond your impediments, rise beyond your limitations. A generation is there. At least your children, dog. They will rise and grow with a testimony that their father is a praying man. They have lost every excuse to pray. They will rise with a testimony on their lips that their father is a righteous man. You don't know the impact he had on them. The greatest impact that was on my life was what I saw my mother do. In my own opinion, I'm just continuing her prayer ministry. That's my own opinion. I don't know if he has changed. I saw my mother crying at the back of the uncompleted house that my uncle is building many years ago. The imprint of that prayer never left my heart. She was weeping, tears soaked her. She said, put a burden of prayer in me. Put a burden of the word. Put a burden of souls. The mistake I made, do you know the mistake? I don't know. If I knew, I would not have done it. Out of passion, I now told God, put a burden of prayer in me. I met one young man somewhere. He says, sir, pray for me. I want what you have. I said, you don't know what you are asking for. I told him, it will scatter your life. Oh. He said, yes. It will scatter your life. He said, yes. I laid hands on him. Through his life scattered. All he's crying for up and down is God. He forgot about job. Forgot about many things. He was looking for God up and down. People say he has gone crazy. God answered the prayer, amen. Put a burden in my heart. Since that day I learned my lesson. If you don't mean it, don't pray it. Especially in my meeting, you come and say, I want to die, I want to die. You will die. God will litter dealings on your path that will make you to die indeed. I saw you dying at the door that day. It was death. They put you in a coffin. Another man came out. What he didn't know is that when you are praying and feeling the anointing, you thought he... That's what people don't know. They feel the anointing and goosebumps in the presence, and when they will cry and say, I surrender. I want to die. Today I lay it all. And then God will take you serious and begin to implement it. You say, Jesus, don't pity me. No, be waiting you talk. Jesus, don't pity me. Put your hands on me. And when he put his hands on, you began to cry. And you wanted to run away. He said, no, 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 it's too late. That's why it is. It's too late. It's too late. It's too late. It's too late to run now. Yes. 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 We die here. Don't say with me if you are not sure. Going. Some of us know where we are speaking from. So let's touch one principle. I don't even know if we will finish the first principle. Number one is that you need an understanding of kingdom and dominion. Genesis chapter 1 verse 26. Genesis chapter 1 verse 26. Read for me.
Genesis chapter 1 verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fishes of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth.
So the scripture says, God said, let us make man in our image, and let them. That means the creation of man is not purposeless. There is something in the heart of God that he intended to achieve, and that made him to create man in a certain way that it will be possible for him to achieve that agenda. Are you with me? And that way is that he created man principally in his image and likeness. It is not possible for that dimension of purpose that God had in his heart to fulfill through man to be actualized, if not that he has to create him a certain kind of person. Are you with me? It is that certain kind of being that we enable him to fulfill the purpose that God has given him. Now, first thing you need to understand, the first principle is dominion and kingdom. If you don't have understanding of this, you won't even know why we are doing this. One of the books I read that shaped my mind in understanding of this thing, I was in final year in campus, and I read a book by SGLT. That book shaped it actually affected the way we structured what we are doing here. The name of the book is The Coming Kingdom. That was when I found out that everything God is doing is about the kingdom. Whether it's the kingdom that has existed, that is present, that is coming, is still about what? The kingdom. And when you see and hear about kingdom, one of the things that comes to your mind is dominion. Are you with me? So the scripture says, and God said, let us make man in our image. And he said, let them have dominion. So, and he listed the frame of reference where the dominion of man should be found. The first thing that comes to your mind whenever you find yourself anywhere, anytime, any place is the dominion of God found in this place? Can you testify that about your family? Huh? That's where I'm going. Huh? Let's start with your family. Can you say that the dominion, because I've told you that God is called the King of Kings. It means that you, Kingsley, is a king. Now, it means, this is it. Every territory where you, God has not through you established his dominion and kingdom, Jesus is just a prince in that place. Meanwhile, his destiny is to subdue all rules to him. And it is on that basis that God sent forth the rod of his strength out of Zion. The testimony of that rod being sent forth, according to the book of Psalms chapter 110, he said, rule thou in the midst of what? So anytime the rod is sent forth out of Zion, what it brings across the territory, across the frame of reference where the rod has been sent to, is what we call the rulership mandate. It's what we call dominion. Say dominion. It is when you begin to understand this, then you will understand what is even motivating what we do. So you are doing, I don't know what you call ministry or the life that you are living that has not affected and brought about the dominion of God in your sphere of influence, then you don't know what is territorial ministry. These are the things you must understand. Say dominion. Now, God said, let me make man so that through him. So he now made you in a certain way. You became king because for the testimony of dominion is only told by men that have understood rule. Understood government. These are kings. It's only kings that can talk about dominion. That is why anywhere you see Lucifer appear, he is called prince and all his minions, because everything he is trying to establish his thrones and rulership and government. Have you not heard his testimony? He said, I will take my throne to the size of the north. He said, I will be what? Like the Most High. That was his desire. But when we begin to analyze that desire, we found out that it was not given to him. It was a desire that God did not sponsor. Meanwhile, for every man that was created after the image of God, there is an intrinsic capacity that was factored into your creation. And that capacity is the capacity to bring dominion. So for you to be able to do that, God has to create you in his own order. That is why you are a king. So God wanted to raise a kingdom, a certain kingdom that is made up of kings and priests. There is no subject. Every man you see there has a territory to rule. And those territories are actually ruled by the strength of your priesthood. Are you with me? By the strength of what? Your priesthood. That is why the scripture spoke in the book of, is it not 2 Timothy? 2 Peter. He said, a royal priesthood. A holy nation. That is what God wants to raise. A peculiar people. There is a certain order of people he wants to raise. So that dominion is what should be in your mindset. Anytime you will appear in a place, not your dominion. What people think is see, dominion is, our fathers have done a very big business in this, but there is a small challenge. The challenge is that people have taught dominion. Many of our fathers have tried, but they have taught dominion in the aspect of physical influence and capacity to find yourself. For example, that woman you celebrated that day is, you know, she's one of the highest in the world. But that is not the real dominion God is talking about. Real dominion is not physical first. It is what? Spiritual. It is because it is spiritual that it requires a certain kind of frame of identity for you to be able to function in it. He said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. It is only this that empowers you to establish a dominion that references the accurate perspective of God. Are you with me now? So man has gone along to begin to exert dominion on behalf of the kingdom of God, but what they did actually was not, it is not fully representative of what God had in his mind. Are you with me? So because it is not a dominion and an impact that sprang up from a spiritual reality. Are you with me? We find out that those men are celebrated in that sphere, but even the people that found them in that sphere, they never knew their God. That is not dominion. Dominion is when you come into a sphere and the civilization of Zion permeates that sphere. It doesn't necessarily mean that you will be the king or the person ruling in that place, but your philosophy rules that place. Are you not getting the point? So you become the best actor, but in the movie industry, it is the philosophy of Babylon that is still ruling that place. You don't know dominion yet, simply because you are one of the renowned people. They say come and be the, you don't understand. Dominion is first of all spiritual, and it's because we have been now pushed. Because when we understand, they told the kingdom people to begin to look for dominion. Don't shy from politics. Don't shy away from this. So we moved ahead and entered there. And we don't understand that real dominion is spiritual. And if it is spiritual, what it means is that there are some certain criteria that you need to meet up with as standards in the spirit that will be able to power that engagement that you are finding yourself in. Are you with me? Before any man will work for Satan, Satan will have to make you into a certain kind of person. If you try to become another person, he will not allow you. It's when you become that kind of person, then you'll be able to propagate his agenda. So God said, the prerequisite, the requirement for you becoming a man of dominion is that you have to be in my image and what? My likeness. You see, that is a challenge. That means Jesus Christ have to be formed in us first. So we see men that are left. Christ is not formed in them. So they can do anything to just have that influence and whatever they call it. And it was when you begin to do such a thing, one of the things you find out is that Satan can sell fame to you. As you are ministering, as you are doing ministry to people, that's one of the things some of us that God is have to be careful for. You have to be careful. When people look at you and they can't stop what they are doing, they will accept you as long as you remove some things from what you are doing. I heard they told Frank Edward to remove Jesus from his songs. Something as simple as that. It's not even serious. There are some meetings they can't invite some of us to. We will turn it into a revival. There are some worship concerts you can't invite people like Lawrence or you and Theophilus on Sunday. They will turn it into revival meetings. Especially Oyo. Oyo will come and tell you, do you love Jesus? You will say yes. He is harmless. Is he not true? Nobody will say he hates Jesus. He said, Jesus is my love. Is he not your love? You say yes. Say after me, Jesus, my love, I want to make you smile, I want to bless your heart. Let's sing it. 1, 2, ready, go. Jesus, my love, I want to make you smile, I want to bless your heart. Jesus, my love, I want to bless you. Then he will speak in tongues. Shalabalada. Somebody sing it. Jesus, my love, he will take you serious. I want to bless your heart. Somebody hear his whispers. Jesus. Something has started happening. Because what he's singing is not a song, it's a reality he touched. I want to bless your heart. In Jesus' name. You see, we have tied the atmosphere already. You can't invite such people because what they are carrying is a civilization. They are not singing songs. What they are singing has been molded into the frame of their being. Jesus formed it. It was Christ that was formed in them. They are not trying to, when they come in your space, they are not motivated by, they are motivated by who sent them. Eh? That's why you can't invite some people to come and minister joke and minister their worldly song. There is somebody that sent them. The thing that is in their heart is not Jesus. Before they are through, they will castigate the church or Bible before they leave. They will castigate tongues. Because something in them is not aligned to Zion. They don't have reference for kingdom. The reference of God, the fear of God is not in their hands. Just give me 3 minutes. Let me touch this dominion. Genesis chapter 2, the same Genesis. I want to show you something. Genesis chapter 2 verse 4. And then we pray. Genesis chapter 2 verse 4. Read it for me.
Genesis chapter 2 verse 4.
Yeah.
These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created. In the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens and every plant of the field.
No, it's okay. Verse 4 said, you don't understand this scripture. Said, you can be seated. He said, these are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord made the earth and heavens. There are three key things you should take. Generations, created, made. Do you understand what they mean? It means that what you see manifest in this realm did not originate from here. That's what they are trying to tell you. Are you with me? I'm trying to show you that dominion and the things of God is first of all spiritual. The scripture is saying here is he called the things that we, are you with me? If you go and search that word generation, what you will see is descent, that it begat. Are you with me? That means there is an order, O-R-D-E-R, that gave birth to another order. Are you with me? So principally the things that are spiritual gave birth to the things that are what? Physical. The problem is that many people try to establish dominion that is not yet spiritual. So the church of Jesus Christ became very big physically, but we are small spiritually. Because the dominion we have physically is not the same with the one we have spiritually. When the apostles, Jesus left and they were moving, they were not many. I don't know how many thousand they were, but the scripture testified about them. They said, these men that turned the city upside down. Who are these people? Whatever it is that they know that they did was so robust that it was able to change the delicate balance of the territory and turn it upside down for the advantage of the kingdom. We don't know what they did. We are too many now. They say we are how many million believers and Christians. Yet, I don't want to. That thing you are thinking is the thing that is holding us back. You have not even been able to rescue your family. Have you not been born again for 5 years? Jesus, help us. Say after me, Jesus, help me. Help me, Holy Ghost, or I die. That's my prayer since the last 2 days. Help me. I don't know, pray your own, but me, help me. I don't have any other resource. These days, I understand the prayer of Catherine Kuhlman. Say, take not the precious Holy Spirit from me. It's all I have. It's all I have. It's all I have. When dominion is established in your heart, Satan can't stop it from manifesting. There is no way you can stop it. That's my target. When we are able to bring in cargoes, establishments, civilizations in the spirit, Satan can't stop it from manifesting in the territory. Are you with me? When we establish new points and centers for God in the spirit, what you will see is genuine apostolic and prophetic churches rising in the territory that is able to stand the test of time and bear the witness of Zion. No people just opening things just to fulfill their own agenda. We are not saying more denomination will not come up. We are saying they will come up as a result of a spiritual betting. Are you with me? It's a dominion that is coming from the realm of the spirit. The scripture testified that even the heavens and the earth we see manifest in the natural realm came, was given birth to by the spiritual realm. I say you have not been able to have dominion because there are many, you have not had dominion in the spirit. When you have dominion in the spirit, it will manifest. Men will look at you and know you are a man of stature. That is the problem. We get men, there are many pastors of many denominations. Pastors, pastoring, just because their GO is a man of stature. They now went to a branch and then they had 5,000 people under them. They thought it was their stature that brought those 5,000. They don't know they are empty inside. And they begin to say what is happening in your church. Just because the branch of this church is 5,000 people is there, you think Jesus is there. There is no lamp. There is no candle. There is no lamp. There is no candle. And God will be looking to speak through the territory and speak to the territory. He will not hear a voice. There is no voice. There is no voice to speak to the territory. Because the dominion we have is not a spiritual one. The scripture says, in the days that God made heaven and earth, these are the generations. The generations that are spiritual. That is why our engagement is fundamentally spiritual. When we begin to engage the spiritual one, the eternal one, he begins to factor to some things in our being. And then over some time, the territory will take notice of us. Don't worry, they will come, they will gather. But before they gather, we would have gained dominion in the spirit. We don't seek things after the carnal, after the fleshly. We don't want to gather people and gather them for Satan. When we don't have dominion in the spirit, we will gather things. Gather people and gather them for Satan. And Satan will begin to rule our churches. The spirit of religion, the spirit of all kinds of things, immorality, we begin to, perversion we rule, seduction we rule, because we have not gained dominion in our soul. Until then, the dominion that we seek in the territory is far. I want you to cry to God, tell Jesus, tamper my heart, bring dominion into my heart, and through my heart, bring dominion into the territory. What we see principally is a spiritual dominion that we have fought from your heart. Jesus, Jesus, my Lord, I want to make you smile, I want to bless your heart. Jesus, Jesus, my Lord, I want to wipe your tears, I want to bless your heart. Jesus, Jesus, my Lord, I want to bless your heart, I want to wipe your tears. Jesus, Jesus, my Lord, I want to bless your heart, I want to wipe your tears. Jesus, Jesus, my Lord, I want to bless your heart, I want to bless you, Jesus, Jesus, my Lord. When we gain dominion in the spirit, it is only a matter of time. That dominion will be felt and seen in the territory. Don't leave a lacuna in the spirit. Don't engage the cosmos until God engages your heart. Help me, Jesus, my Lord. I want to make you smile. I want to bless your heart. Jesus, my Lord. I want to make you smile. I want to bless your Jesus, Jesus, my Lord. I want to bless your, I want to wipe your tears.
Salahabaras.
Jesus, Jesus, my Lord.
Hi.
I want to bless your heart. I want to bless your heart.
Sayata.
Jesus, Jesus, my Lord. I want to make you smile. I want to bless your heart. My Lord, I want to bless your heart. I want to make you smile. Jesus, Jesus, my Lord. I want to make you smile. I want to bless your heart.
Asua,
Jesus, Jesus, my Lord. I want to make you smile. I want to bless your heart. Jesus, Jesus, my Lord. I want to bless your heart. I want to wipe your tears. Jesus, Jesus, my Lord. I want to make you smile. I want to bless your heart. Jesus, Jesus, my Lord.
I have asked.
I want to make you smile. I want to wipe your tears. Jesus, Jesus, my Lord. I want to bless your heart. I want to wipe your tears. My Lord, I want to bless your heart. I want to wipe your tears.
That's my power. That's my dedication.
Jesus, Jesus, my Lord.
Saila pevenete sesele banaha kovanaha tamahas.
Jesus,
my Lord. I want to bless your heart. I want to make you smile. Jesus, Jesus, my Lord. I want to make you smile. I want to bless your heart. My
just maintain your posture. It's not a must. Tomorrow we meet again by 5 p.m. You are blessed in Jesus' name.